Coming at you from Syracuse, New York, it's the Real Deal Podcast with your hosts, Ian Phillips and Cassie Grimaldi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Real Deal Podcast. As always, my name is Ian Phillips. I write about movies, I talk about movies, I watch movies, just basically everything movies. I'm here for another episode of the Real Deal Podcast with my co-host, Cassie Grimaldi.
Hi, everybody. I'm a little under the weather, but my name's Cassie, and I watch TV and movies. I write about TV and movies, and I really like them, so yeah.
And there you go. For this week's episode, a little later in the show, we're going to have a review of Neighbors, the latest comedy out starring Seth Rogen. But before we do that, we have a lot of TV news to talk about this past week. So we're in the midst of upfronts right now. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you do have that right.
And coming with it, there's been, on network TV, there's been a bit of a cancellation spree.
Yeah, a ton. We have this list here. Where it sort of feels like right now that especially comedies, besides Fox and CBS, pretty much at ABC, I guess that's all
there's
they
been,
do.
There's been a there's been a decent amount of Fox. CBS right now is the only one that doesn't seem to be in trouble because CBS is the only network where people still watch stuff on it. And by stuff, I just mean The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, and procedurals.
And yeah, especially NCIS.
But
I don't even know what that stands for.
It sort of feels, I know this happens every year, but it definitely feels like a TV ghost town right now, which is a little scary.
It
and
is.
Unnerving.
But so some of the shows that got canceled, is there any like in particular that you, there's so many to just like list, but is there any in particular that you think you might really miss?
On Fox, this show called Enlisted got canceled, mm-hmm. and I thought it was really, really funny. It was a military-based comedy, and it was so funny, but they put it on at Friday nights at like 9 o'clock.
That's which
is
death zone.
Yeah, terrible.
I never got to watch Enlisted, but I heard all good things about it. But you know, like when a show, it just seems very weird. Like network TV just seems to be outdating itself more and more by the day. Because still, like when you look at a show like Two and a Half Men, A Big Bang Theory, popular on TV, nobody's really talking about it on the internet the next day. But you will go online and see so much about Enlisted.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a cult hit, but, like, cult hits still can't translate to Nielsen ratings. They translate to tweets, but not Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's kind of weird, but it feels, I wasn't really terribly attached to anything that got canceled this year, but it, volume-wise.
Well, there's one thing, but which we'll get to later.
Yeah. Yeah.
but yeah, volume-wise, it seems like bigger than any other year. Not that I was keeping track that much in the past, but like, I feel like it's been a big deal.
Yeah. I'm friends with Better Lives, the show that CBS tried to use as a buffer between How I Met Your Mother and How I Met Your Dad got canceled too. It was terrible.
And Surviving Jack got canceled on Fox, which I only got to see two episodes of. But from what I saw of it, I enjoyed it. It wasn't great, but it seemed like one of those shows that would probably get better, like, with age. And also Christopher Maloney's just awesome. I'm a huge proponent of the Christopher Maloney fan club.
Yeah, me too.
And also for anything that casts Rachel Harris in a role where she's not just the exact same person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know, there's a certain word I want to use, but I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to, like, so we have all these shows are getting canceled here and there. For the most part, like we said, we weren't, like, attached to a lot of the shows. But there was one, we'll say, we were very attached. Well, actually, before I go into that, I just want to say that I think they're making room for a lot more pilots that are coming out.
Yeah.
And I've looked through them. Do you see much promise?
I'm really excited for Mulaney.
Same.
That should be, a lot of shows have big series orders. Like, I know Mulaney got a series order. Just a bunch. I know Fox canceled its whole pilot
thing. Tina Fey is getting a bunch of pilots.
Yeah, Tina Fey has this project
with
Ellie Kemper about. I forget if it's about being released from an insane asylum or something like that.
I forget, but it's Tina Fey, so she gets to do whatever she wants. But to go back to Mulaney, this is just a really interesting one to talk about in case you don't know about it. Mulaney is a show that's going to be written, like, created by and starring comedian John Mulaney, who's a Real Deal podcast favorite.
Yeah.
But, so he was originally supposed to have this show on NBC. They, like, ordered a pilot there and all these episodes. They, like, started taping, and then out of the, like, it seemed like a complete sure bet. And then out of the blue, NBC decided they weren't going to pick it up.
Well, was it being produced by Broadway Video? I don't remember.
I don't remember. It might, but I think that's Lorne Michaels was involved. Company. But, then it got, then it ended up, Fox ended up picking up after, which I feel like, never really happens. But it's just, it was a rare case, but, like, anyway, that means the show must be really, I don't like that we saw a first trailer for it yesterday, and it looked funny, but not amazing. It looked kind of like a very just traditional Seinfeld-esque sitcom.
Yeah, I think the both of us are very familiar with his stand-up, and a lot of his stand-up was reused. And
yeah, so if you've never seen his stand-up before, it'll be new to you, and you'll love it.
Yeah, Nassim Pedrad plays, like, this character, and it really annoyed me, because she was just like, oh, I'm single in New York City, and I was like,
but I've
do better, yeah. John Mulaney. I know you can. Like, I just, I don't know, I have such high expectations.
I do, too. But, like, I've seen him, like, talk about this before, and he, like, wanted to make it a traditional show on purpose, but, like, kind of add. I think it's really going to have to do, if the characters are good and interesting and funny, then it will be good.
I think we were both hoping for the sitcom to be based on the opening credits of his stand-up special, New in Town.
Yes, I really would have loved that. Yeah. If you've never seen New in Town, please just go watch it right now. It's on Netflix. It's so good. It's probably one of the best hours of stand-up I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I still, regardless, am looking forward to it just because of Mulaney, and the idea that we'll get to see John Mulaney stand up on TV every week is exciting to me.
Me too.
I think it'll be really great.
It also looks like there's some really interesting summer shows coming out.
Yes, Welcome to Sweden, I've heard about.
Yeah, summer
Maya
shows.
Maya Rudolph's getting her own show.
Yeah, the Maya Rudolph show. A lot of shows in the summer really aren't that great, but they can be really fun. Mm-hmm. Last Comic Standing's coming back. Marin just started its second season. And there's a show that I just found called The Hot Wives of Orlando. And it'll be on Hulu, and it's Casey Wilson, Kristen Schaal, and a bunch of other women.
Angela Kinsey from The Office.
Yeah, it's like a mockumentary reality show. Like, I don't know if you ever watched Burning Love, which was on
E! I've seen some episodes of it. It's very funny. It's really funny.
But it's the same people who did
I feel like Hulu, like, hasn't really had, like, a big hit series yet, and this is some good star power there, so.
Yeah.
In terms of comic people, this is a big star power, so maybe that might help them out.
But yeah, so there's hope.
Also, there's another show on points coming out, is The Meltdown show, which will be hosted by Camille Nanjiani and Jonah Ray. Actually, when I was living out in L.A., I got a chance to go to a lot of shows at the Meltdown Theater, and it's kind of cool to be seeing. There's going to be a lot of stand-up that's coming to TV in the next within the next year, and like that's happened. I remember in the 80s, there was like a lot of stand-up shows. There was like an Evening at the Improv, and there was kind of a bubble, and hopefully that doesn't happen again, but there's just basically a lot of alternative comics are going to be coming to TV and paired with like what Comedy Central's been doing lately. Yeah. This is a good time to comedy on TV.
It's very experimental comedy right now, and there that new show on Fox called Riot, which is like Whose Line crossed with like
haven't seen it yet.
What's that show? Wipeout. yeah.
Interesting.
So it was an Australian show that's getting adapted, so that will just be like interesting. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Now back to moving along to what we were saying, there's one show that got canceled that kind of means a lot to us. We've talked about it on the podcast before. But one of the victims of this whole network TV purge was NBC's Community, which got canceled after its fifth season. Now, this like is not the first time that Community has been under the threat of cancellation or like has come close to it. There's been so many shakeups. Dan Harmon got fired and then rehired for this season, and this season was like a big comeback for them. It was really great. We talked about
a good season.
In the past episode, we talked about this. It's like probably one of the most consistently good seasons they've ever had.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, when you told me about it, and like it hit me like a ton of bricks because I was just like not expecting it at all. I got so upset about it.
I did too. I got really upset because it was something because this was like every year, like at the end of the season of Community, I kind of expect the worst, but this was the first time that I think everyone thought Community was safe. Like, it didn't do that well in the ratings this year, but it did better than it has in the past, and like it does really, like it's a really good show for NBC and the reputation for having better comedy shows than CBS.
Yeah, it's just it's scary because I feel like Parks and Rec is sort of the only show left comedy wise that's got has that old tradition of Thursday night comedy on NBC.
It's Thursday night comedy is kind of dead now. It's like there's been it's really sad.
Yeah, Tuesday nights on Fox I was about to say the same.
But yes, Tuesday nights on Fox are the new Thursday nights on NBC, or also any night on your Netflix device.
Yeah.
Also helps. That's kind of what killed Thursday night TV, but it really is a I mean, Mulaney would have been on that docket, but unfortunately won't be anymore because Fox got a hold of it and they'll do good things with it.
Yeah.
But so back to Community.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted to, because this show means a lot to us. It means a lot to a lot of people. Like, I don't think, for very few shows on TV, I've never seen this rabbit of a fan base, and I find myself included in it.
On Dan Harmon's most recent podcast, which was he recorded, I think, the day after he got the new cancellation news, or maybe the same day, he recorded a podcast, and he was, like, crying. He was like, I don't know why I'm crying, because people have, like, leukemia, and Dan Harmon, he, like, said something along the lines of, he can go on to create another show, so... But he really sees why it's so important to the fans, and we're fans, so we're to fry about it. So.
Exactly.
Well, it's glad Dan Harmon's sort of trying to cope with it in a
I've just, good like, way. Thought about what Community means to me, and, like, there's, like, it really wasn't a show that was meant to be on network TV, but I think it was so perfect.
Yeah.
Like, there, because in ways it is that Community sometimes can be the most traditional sitcoms, but most times is not.
Yeah.
But there's, like, something about, like, the idea, like, any show that's, like, about a group of friends, like Friends or other shows like that, like, they don't really focus a lot on, like, the really hard parts of the characters' lives, and Community was really about a bunch of misfits who have nothing in common and come together because of one common thing that they go to the same school.
Yeah. Community always reminded me a lot of the show Moonlighting, which was on in the 80s or 90s, but it was very similar in style. They would do, like, a bunch of, like, theme episodes and bottle episodes and episodes that essentially meant nothing because people were getting... It came after a time of really very formulaic cop shows in the 70s, and it was about two detectives who were, like, who worked at this agency. I forget what it was called, but,
Bruce Willis was on it, right?
Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd, yeah.
I should probably watch this show.
So, if you can find it online or something, it's really hard to get the rights to, but, so it's, like, never online anywhere, but, you should watch it if you liked Community. It's, like, an hour long Community, but, and also funny.
But yeah, like, Community also, I've heard people compare it sometimes to, like, a real-life Simpsons.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes a lot of sense. Like, Simpsons, I guess, in their prime, whatever you want to say. People said that about Parks and Rec, too, but I think it's really fitting for Community. And, like, there's something about it. Like, every episode, these characters could become cartoons, and they're always really real.
And sometimes they did.
Yes, that's true.
Which is a good segue.
On some of the many theme episodes. Who is your favorite character on Community, and what do you think?
It's probably a tie for first between Abed and Dean Pelton.
Yeah, Dean Pelton started off as a minor character, and then he was, like, the funniest part of any episode. And there's usually, you know, when a minor character becomes a major character on a show, sometimes, like, they kind of, it kind of, like, ruins the character because you realize that, like, they were better in small doses. But I would say that only of, like, minor characters becoming major characters on big shows, only, like, Dean Pelton and Ron Swanson were the only ones that, like...
And, Chris Pratt. Andy Dwyer.
Yes, that's true. But they were the ones that became, like, that went from minor to major characters, and it improved the show in significant ways. I think Abed might be, in ways, to anybody who watched Community as, like, a pop culture obsessive person, like, Abed is their way into the show.
Yeah, for sure.
There's not characters like Abed on TV. I think he's really amazing.
He always, when they did the G.I. Joe episode, his name was Fourth Wall, and he was just, like, brought all this awareness to, like, the because a cartoon episode, and brought all awareness to, like, the cartoon genre and the Community itself.
He was aware.
Joe,
yeah,
and,
he was always aware.
Kids show. Oh my god.
He was always aware that life was like a TV show. But I'd also like to point out that I think my favorite character, like, I usually say go between Troy and Abed, but I think I'm gonna have to go for Britta.
Oh yeah.
Because she's like everyone. She's kind of like the punching bag on the show. Like, everyone says, "You're the worst, Britta. You're the worst." She's kind of the underdog in that way, but also it was just really like she changed. I think she was like Because the show changed a lot from when it started to where it was when it got canceled. And I think she kind of represents that because, I don't know, how would you describe her character in the beginning?
She was definitely not as, like, dopey.
She was a lot more, like, uptight.
Yeah.
She was, like, kind of smarter than everybody else. And then, like, they kind of, it was, like, weird because they did a really big change for her character. And yet, like, it seemed completely natural. And she became, like, the funniest. She was, like, the, she's, like, usually, like, the, Gillian Jacobs, the actress, that I think might be, is one of my favorite actresses on TV right now. Or when she was on, she's just so funny.
She's in a lot of short films and stuff right now, which is cool.
There's one episode I'm going to talk about soon where she has zero lines in it, but she's the funniest part of the episode.
Oh, my God.
You know, you might know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to that. But, we one of the things we want to talk about is, we're going to kind of, there's a chance that Community could come back, given that canceled shows happen to come back a lot, and there's a high demand for it, but we don't know. We've heard there's been talk of, like, who knows, like, Crackle could pick it up, or Hulu, or Netflix, but there's...
I think, either said they're not going, I don't know. I remember seeing an article.
But nothing in this world is really, nothing in this world is really certain.
Yeah, Dan Harmon said it would be really hard to resurrect...
I think, though,
Community
if it did,
in general.
Yeah. The thing is, if it did get picked up, it would probably be the best thing for the show, and I think they would get so much more free reign, and it would be kind of like, it would look something like the new season of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Just really weird and insane and ambitious and, like, very divisive. But I think since we don't know whether it's coming back, I kind of want to talk about, like, some of our favorite episodes of Community or the ones that kind of define what the show is. Doing this list is really hard.
Yeah.
There's so many good episodes. I don't want to do, like, a countdown or anything, but just talk about, summarize a bunch. Like, Cassie, tell me, what are a few episodes that are favorites of yours?
So, out of 97 episodes, which was a shame because it was just three episodes.
Short, just three episodes short.
Yeah. Well,
of 100. They still get to go into syndication on Comedy Central, but still, nice. Just three episodes short of 100.
And which is just Comedy Central. So, yeah. Okay, so I picked, like, 9.
maybe go to 2 or 3 of your favorites, and I'll do a few of my favorites. We like to plan on the air.
Community was really known for doing a lot of, like, not direct parodies and also generic parodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was, like, a horror movie episode. There was the space episode. There was, like,
oh my God, I almost forgot about that one.
Thriller episode.
Amazing.
But one of my favorites was called Contemporary American Poultry, and it's, like, a direct parody of Goodfellas.
It's amazing.
Like, it's not shot for shot or anything, but they, like, use the whole style of Goodfellas, like, the long tracking shots, and it's Abed. there's, like, the scene in the beginning where it, like, freeze frames on his face, and he's, like, as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be in a gangster movie. It's just so funny.
That was one of the first episodes I think I saw of Community where I knew that this show was different than any. It was amazing.
So good. And, yeah, so they use, like, chicken fingers as currency of, like, corruption, I guess.
They were, like, everyone just wanted the chicken fingers in the dining hall.
Yeah.
But, like, when Community parodies something, they do, like, they go
they
all out.
So
they don't
ridiculous.
Half-ass it, unlike some shows made by Seth MacFarlane, but, that's definitely one of the best ones.
And, they all get rich, so Troy gets to buy a monkey, and he names it Annie's Boobs.
That was the first Annie's Boobs episode.
That's the origin of
Annie's
Boobs.
Annie's Boobs is a recurring character, and...
It's a small monkey.
It's a small monkey that's name is Annie's Boobs, and it always smiles in a really funny way, just in a monkey way.
Yeah.
Speaking of concept episodes, like, Community did so many, like, really, really well, and they had, every season they did a documentary episode. I know you want to talk about one of them, but there's two I'm going to talk about. There's Advanced Documentary Filmmaking and Pillows and Blankets, which are both from season 3.
Advanced, season 3 was the best season.
It might have been. Sometimes I say season 2 because there was, like, a few rough ones in season 3, but overall, like, some of the best episodes were in season 3 and not even...
Yeah.
That's really true. But, so Advanced Documentary Filmmaking is one where the dean wants to shoot a new commercial for Greendale, and it's really simple, but he ends up becoming completely obsessed and going overboard, and it's a parody of Hearts of Darkness, which is about Francis Ford Coppola going insane while making Apocalypse Now, And it's just so, like, this was, like, the episode, I think, where Jim Rash, like, I really wish he got nominated for an Emmy for, because he went, like, so over the top, and, like, it's, I can't even, it's so amazing. It ends with him doing a Marlon Brando parody and, like, lying naked on the ground and yelling, "I'm horrible."
Yeah.
But, like, you just watch, like, and then, like, you just, like, no, it's just amazing, because you see everybody kind of go insane. It's, like, the most, every episode is kind of meta community, but it's, like, the most of it, like, the Jeff starts, like, has to dress up like the dean, and he starts thinking he's the dean. There's one really yeah. ridiculous scene where they just want to represent diversity at the school, so they have Troy and Britta hugging, and the dean is so obsessed with making the hug look perfect that he does, like, hundreds of takes, and by the end, they're both, like, crying and freaking out. It's just, like, that kind of thing that made Community so good. And then the other one was Pillows and Blankets.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, a two-part episode. The second part is much better than the first part, and the second part, it's where Troy and Abed's friendship breaks up, and they go to war with each other involving Greendale. One side uses pillows, one side uses blankets, and it makes fun of, like, a Ken Burns Civil War documentary. And like I said, when Community does a parody, they go all out, and they knew, like, what everything represented of something else. And, like, watching the episode, it was, I remember when I first saw it, like, some people would probably not get it and just be really confused, but, like, it's a mark. I thought it was just, that episode was, like, shows everything that made Community great. But also, there are a lot of jokes. Like, even when they do parodies, there's a lot of jokes where you could not get what the parody is and still laugh at it.
Yeah, exactly. I think, especially with parodies, I think with Community, in parodies, you can almost always find one source material, but a lot of it, like, goes back really far and really deep in Communities. Like, Dan Harmon was just, like, insane with that, about mm-hmm. making it so layered, and it's like he leaves, like, different breadcrumbs.
Yes, and then it just kind of builds up, like, yeah. with Annie's boobs. But yeah. this was also the one I talked about where Gillian Jacobs is the funniest part without having any lines, and there's this whole running joke where she's, like, the war photographer, but she's really terrible at it, and the narrator of the episode just keeps focusing on how she's an awful photographer, and they just, like, won't stop bringing it up over and over again. And it's just, like, she, like, you don't see her just do any lines, you just watch her take pictures, and there's one where she tries to take a picture of, like, a crumpled up soda can and, like, put in black and white, and you're just, like, imagining what's going through her head. She's so good. Anyway, what's another episode you would...
Oh, I like the other documentary one where Abed's just, he's, like, straight up making a documentary about the study group, and they all go to visit somebody in the hospital, and...
Pierce, who's,
like, dying, and,
played by Chevy Chase, also. Yeah.
And LeVar Burton comes, and that's just a really weird, funny tidbit.
That's Donald Glover's best moment in the show, yeah. I think. When he has a breakdown.
He loves LeVar Burton, but he just didn't want to meet him.
He said he just wanted a picture, because you yeah. can't disappoint a picture.
Yeah. So, another one I really liked was, well, I guess it's sort of three episodes, but I'm going to count it as one. The paintball episodes. You can't really talk about yes. Community without talking about the paintball
episodes. That was like, what made the show. That was the most important. That's when people started to realize it was the best show, the yeah. best comedy on TV.
Yeah, so the paintball episodes, the first two, well, the Modern Warfare was the first one, and it was the season one finale.
It wasn't the finale, but it was close to, like
21 or 22.
But it was something like that.
And it was, just parodied every action movie ever. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever watch Community on Hulu, there's, like, this shot of, like, Jeff diving, and then yes. all the paint exploding behind him. And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just, like, a parody of a parody of a parody, and it's just so good. But I actually like the next one's a little better, which is A Fistful of Paintballs and A Few Paintballs More. Which was
half a spaghetti western and half Star Wars.
Yeah, which it was just amazing. I don't know. No, if it really. Talk about it at all,
no, we can talk. Those are, like, some of my favorite episodes. I'm somebody who gets really geeky about, like, when things that I love are referenced that aren't normally referenced, and, like, everyone knows what Star Wars is and references it a lot. It's not a bad thing, 'cause they did it really well, but I just loved seeing a spaghetti western parody and how perfectly they did it. And like I said, again, like, when they do a parody that they go, this is something we'll talk about with Neighbors later, but, like, Community goes for these really insanely hard concepts, and it always just commits all out and doesn't ever try and take any easy way out, which is why the writers on that show are probably, like, some of the best on TV, and why Dan Harmon is probably so crazy.
Yeah,
His perfectionism always works out for the better.
Yeah, so I guess there's tons of great episodes, but Remedial Chaos Theory, which was the famous timeline episode.
Yes, that's one.
Paradigms of Human Memory.
That's one I would like. Well, there's two more I'd like to talk about. If we have time really quickly, first off, I'd like to mention just quickly, we've talked about all concept episodes, but one I want to mention is Mixology Certification, which is a season 2 episode. It's where Troy turns 21 and they all want to go out to a bar for their birthday. And it's like one of the first episodes where that doesn't take place on Greendale's campus. And it's just a character study episode. And like, it's one that like certain, like it's like the, it's not one of the episodes that like the fans will always talk about, but I think it's one of the best episodes. Like, it's funny, but it's very serious at times. There's a moment at the end where Allison, Bree, and Troy that like actually kind of makes me cry. Where you kind of like see what the heart of the show is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, I don't know how well you think of the episode, but it's just a really interesting one to show that
that's when community. That's how I feel about the impressionist ones.
Yes, that's a great one too. But like they can also do non-concept episodes really well, which shows that like
the
strength of community is not just about the parodies, it's about the characters.
Yeah, exactly. And Community was awesome, and I will watch it over and over again.
And one
forever.
Last, yeah. Would you say your favorite is the paintball episode?
I think so, yeah.
I'll just quickly say my favorite is Paradigms of Human Memory, which is like a flashback episode making fun of all flashback episodes on TV, except we've never seen any of the flashbacks before, which means they had to go and make new episodes and fit it into the timeline of Community, which again shows how crazy genius the writers are. But if you haven't seen that one from season 2, it's really good. It's so a really good character episode, yeah. And Annie's boobs is in it again.
Yeah, the monkey.
Yeah, so Community, we're really going to miss you.
Yeah.
And we really hope that somebody will pick up this show again, because I think we need to get to 6 seasons in a movie.
Yeah, I think so.
And we're really close.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're done talking about Community, we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Neighbors.
All right.
All right, all right, all right. All right, welcome back to the Real Deal Podcast, everybody. It's time for Real Talk, where we review a new movie out this week. This week, we are going to talk about Neighbors. Neighbors is a new comedy out starring Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. It's directed by Nick Stoller, who you might know for the Muppets reboot and Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek, which are all movies I like very much. This story is about a new couple that just had they're a married couple. They just had a baby and they've decided to move into the suburbs and are preparing for just a regular life as adults, which they're still trying to get used to since they have a new baby. But just as things seem to be working out for them, a fraternity moves next door, and the movie's about it's a simple concept. The movie's about the battle between the fraternity brothers who keep being disturbing and annoying to Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. And they just keep escalating and fighting each other until hopefully one of them moves or the fraternity gets kicked off. The two main fraternity brothers are played by Zac Efron and Dave Franco.
Yeah.
Cassie, tell me, what did you think of Neighbors?
I actually liked Neighbors a lot more than I thought I would. I went in with pretty low expectations because I decided to psych myself out for that because
that's smart.
I saw that Neighbors was marketed really, really heavily online.
Yeah.
And otherwise, which mm-hmm. is kind of rare these days. But so I was like, just don't expect anything. And I went in and I laughed a lot. But I mean, it wasn't the best.
No, I wish I went.
There are a lot of dumb.
I wish I went in with
dick jokes, but.
I wish I went in with that same mentality as you because, well, I was trying to avoid all the trailers because I saw they were going to be giving so much away, but I was also just really excited for it because I'm a big Seth Rogen fan, and it's really weird. I feel like with comedy, like, your expectations of it so much affect how you feel about the movie, because I can think about, like, last summer, the movie The Heat, which I went in with very low expectations of and ended up really enjoying, but most people I talked to just flat out did not like it.
I didn't end up seeing it yet.
But it's that one was very good. But anyway, it just seems like it's funny to me just how expectations will do that with comedy. I did enjoy Neighbors as well. I didn't enjoy it as a whole, but yeah, I enjoyed it in pieces.
Yeah, I really liked the baby. The baby was really cute.
The baby was really funny. Well, there's more. It was I guess
a genetically engineered, weird, cute, perfect baby,
and who somehow had like the perfect facial reactions to everything. Also, just know that in Hollywood movies, that like they will use more than one baby because of child labor laws.
There were twin babies, and everything. Don't worry.
It was twins.
Yeah.
Okay, there were twin babies, but whatever. This twin, I don't know. They were really. I don't know how the hell you direct a baby.
Yeah.
But
Nick, I think like squeaky toys probably.
All right. Well, Nick Stoller squeaked those toys really well.
Yeah, he did.
But I don't know. What do you think? What worked in Neighbors?
I really loved the reference humor, which I wasn't expecting a ton of, which was awesome. There was so much reference humor. I think in the trailer, the big thing was the Robert De Niro party.
And it was still funny.
And it was still funny.
I don't know. I'm like a huge, like I was talking about Community, I'm a huge fan of reference humor, especially when it's a random reference. And this was the first time I've ever seen somebody reference Meet the Parents in the same like vein as Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
And I just loved like how they, I guess it's not that old of a movie. It feels a little older now since it came out when we were kids, but I just love Dave Franco, like doing all the random lines from the movie. I think
and
the
how
funny,
like the young kids kept messing up the references, and the old couple was like, "No, that's wrong."
Yeah, they had Sam. Okay,
like,
so
that's
they had
Al Pacino. Like,
they had one
so
kid
funny.
Doing an impression of Samuel Jackson and Jackie Brown, which is something that nobody references, but he was doing all of the lines from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, the actor is
Gerard Carmichael, he's a stand-up
so
comedian.
Funny.
He was really funny.
He's so good in this movie.
This is also this is random, but I loved how when Dave Franco was doing the Meet the Parents, he said, "I'm Robert De Niro from Meet the Fockers."
Oh, yeah.
But was doing only the lines from the first Meet the Parents movie.
Yeah.
Which was, like, real. That was, I just thought that was, like, very subtle, but, like, that just,
funny.
That killed
it
me.
It just shows, like, it just, I think it was meant to show, like, the generation gap, but oh my god.
Exactly. So but it was so, yeah, there's a whole generation gap thing. But, yeah, there was a lot of, like, really funny parts to it. Like, I thought, unfortunately, a lot of, like, moments got spoiled from the trailers that I wish, like, were, like, I guess, like, because they had to show kind of, there's a lot of broad slapstick humor, and I guess they had to show that in the trailer. There's one scene that I think did slapstick really well, which I'll try not to say too much about, but
I guess we can do spoiler alerts.
All right, everybody, we are now going into spoiler territory, so spoiler alert for Neighbors. Okay, so the one I was talking about was when there's the fight between Zac Efron, Seth Rogen towards the end, and they just, like, keep using the trampoline and the fan. I love objects. Like, I love when there's fights in comedies where they use the objects in the room, which is why Pineapple Express is, like, I think the best action comedy I've ever seen.
Yeah, I love Pineapple Express.
Where they just
Express.
Take, where people take things and, like, hit each other on the head with them and, like, use it in weird ways.
There's this point where Seth Rogen throws a beer can at Zac Efron, and he dodges it, and he throws, Zac Efron throws it back, and Seth Rogen, like, uses a trampoline to bounce it back, and it's so funny.
And then he, like, hits his head in a fan, too.
Yeah.
It's really great. I actually say I've still never taken a liking to Zac Efron, but I enjoyed him in this.
He actually was he had this one scene where he performed really great.
Which scene are you referring to?
The scene where Dave Franco sort of confronts him about...
Yes.
Not wanting to go to college, and, like,
it was real acting.
It was very good
acting.
I know
exactly what scene you're
talking
about.
Which was foreshadowed in his scene in High School Musical 2 on the golf course, which, if you haven't seen, I recommend.
I have siblings, and I've had to see High School Musical before. Parts of it, I think,
well,
I know what you're talking about, but...
Anyway.
This is not a High School Musical podcast. I also thought Dave Franco... and Zac Efron, I thought, made a really great team of best friends.
Yeah.
I thought Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne made a really convincing young couple.
Yeah, they were really great.
I think what would have made it better is maybe a little better writing.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem with Neighbors is that there was a lot of good things, but they were all unrelated, and the movie is really all over the place.
It's very sporadic.
It's very sporadic. And, like, there's very, okay, so, like, really the big overall, like, theme of Neighbors, or, like, what Neighbors is really about, is about people who don't want to be, who are afraid to be adults, and distracting themselves with childish things in order to avoid that. And we don't find that out until really late in the movie, and by that point it feels important but very thrown in.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that I feel like it was also sort of about how there's no point in time where you ever decide you're an adult. There's just things that happen to you, like graduating and having a kid that sort of forced you to adjust your life.
I could actually relate to that at that moment, given that we both just graduated college.
Yeah, this past weekend. So there are a lot of moments that were oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And it shouldn't have hit home as hard as it did.
It did.
But it did.
That's what it's. It's funny how certain movies will get to you in certain ways that don't seem like a movie that should emotionally get to you. But yeah. Neighbors really did in that one scene. I think that's why you like the Zac Efron and Dave Franco scene.
Yeah,
it was very good. But like I said, that's the problem with the movie, is that it's all over the place, and it feels like we talked about this yesterday, that it feels very random and a collection of scenes that don't connect. Which might work for some movies. It really works for Step Brothers, which is one of my favorite comedies, because it never claims to have a plot.
Yeah, but this movie has a very clear plot, and I think what a mistake that a lot of movies are making right now is that, this story writes itself, it's very played out, the audience will get this, but then it turns into random scene here, random jokes that don't make any sense, and then this movie was very, spelled itself out too hard for you. There were scenes where it was I guess the structure was the fraternity needed 3 strikes to be kicked off campus, so they had to ruin the fraternity's reputation 3 times. And so Seth Rogen and I should probably say the characters' names. Mac and Kelly get in a fight.
Mac and Kelly.
And it's maybe we're not a good team anymore, right before the third thing they need to do. And she leaves the house and takes the baby and goes to her friend's house. Who's
and then
that
just,
period girl from Superbad, right?
Carla Gallo.
Yeah.
She was also in Undeclared, the 40-year-old virgin. She gets her work from Seth Rogen, John Apatow movies. It's too bad because she's really funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know
Lizzie
her name,
from Undeclared. That's
but,
her name.
That's what Ian's for. He knows everything.
Steven Karp's first girlfriend. but anyway,
I know what you're getting. So she goes to her house, and immediately after, there's no, scenes of them really sitting being lonely at all.
Yeah, and usually that'd be a time where there'd be a montage, and he'd be, sulking with his head on the ground
while
the people are happy.
He just immediately goes over there. He's like, I'm sorry! Was that a good Seth Rogen impression?
That was a different Seth Rogen. That's my Seth Rogen. He did not do enough of the Seth Rogen laugh,
I will say,
which is always the best part. But, one thing, I'm just going to sidetrack real quickly and say there is a Hannibal Buress laugh, which is very... Okay, sorry, back to this point, which is actually, I think, a really big point, which is a really good
point.
Yeah,
so they, make up, and then they're, they sit down, all right, this is the third thing we need to do to ruin the fraternity. And I was like, come on.
This is a problem throughout the movie, is that, there's all these... there's, all these plot points they want to hit, but it really just, it seems like the kind of movie, they want to hit these plot points, but they more, want to have fun and do these, long jokes and really long scenes, but, it's not the kind of movie that, that's provided for. It starts off...
That's what they tried to do, because in a lot of... I think it tried to be a Judd Apatow movie or a Goldberg-Rogan movie that it wasn't, because I feel like in those movies there's, a lot of long scenes and a lot of long takes of, good actors improvising.
But, that works in This Is the End.
That works, but it didn't work here, because they just want... They had these, gratuitous party sequences, There was just, this one party sequences where it was just, shots of, college kids just having sex everywhere and, doing part. We get it.
Yeah, there were so many...
You're at a college party.
Yeah, we really did. I feel like at times there was more, just found footage scenes of, giant parties, and I'm just I don't care. I just graduated. I don't need to see this. I want to fit more jokes in there.
And also, I've never been to a frat party that was that interesting, but all the
movies
same things
always make
happened.
Frat parties look
all the same things happened there, but none of them were, that cool ever. So, don't be fooled, kids. Study. Don't go out at night.
But, and that's a good point. I was losing my train of thought there, but I really do... So, this movie is written by Andrew J. Cohen and Brendan O'Brien, who are two people who have done a lot of, random work on other Apatow movies, producing or PAing work.
Yeah,
and I really do kind of... I wish that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote this, because... There was a lot of moments that were, very, the scene with Dave Franco and Zac Efron that we've mentioned a bunch of times already, felt like the scene in Superbad where, like, Michael Cera tells Jonah Hill, like, you're kind of dragging me back. I need to do my own thing now. And, like, I really, like, they're very good at writing those scenes. But,
yeah, and I also felt like the scene where they were really high, the husband and wife were really high in bed, felt a lot like the scene at the end of Superbad.
Where they're both eating the pizza together? Those, like, moments I really loved, and there wasn't enough of them. It tries to do, because I think it tries really hard to do both, like, broad humor and, like, reference Apatow humor.
Yeah,
based on our audience, like, the slapstick stuff is really what got them the most. I don't know if people
except for
really
the breastfeeding scene, that was, like, so unnecessary.
I don't know. It was kind of funny. It was like
for it to
I
be
like,
over.
Yeah, I think the idea of it could have been really funny, but it was like I think they made it too broad and ridiculous. They just went for it. Yeah. But yeah, I also, like, I think I already said, like, they kind of grazed over these little plot points, but, like, some I liked in the Apatow movie sometimes, like, in Superbad, there's a lot of scenes that are just making jokes and having these long conversations for a long time, but they're so much fun to watch and listen to.
This movie started off more like that, though. In an interview, they were talking about it started off as three male friends trying to get rid of the fraternity, but
I kind of wish they still did that. You know? I like the married couple idea, but I just wish they had the Superbad spirit.
Yeah, I liked the couple.
No, they were good.
I don't think that you would really go to your friends if you were having a problem with your neighbor.
No, you're right. Deal with you. Just like Barinholtz.
Yeah, but who is also great in
this. Yeah, he's really great. He's, like, good comic relief. He gets a few good Jewish jokes in there.
Yeah.
But I just wish they didn't, like, graze over. Like, so many, at the very beginning, they're like, oh, like, we're going to get new neighbors. Oh, look, there's a fraternity. Like, they don't even, there's like, oh, maybe there's going to be a gay couple, and there's no build-up. They're just immediately like, oh, wait, now there's a fraternity.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of have to let these things sit. I can't remember how long the movie was. Maybe, like, an hour.
It was, like, an hour 45.
Yeah, so it wasn't, it's pretty long, and I still felt like a lot didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Were there certain scenes you would have cut down on that, like,
I would have cut down the party. I would have cut down the breastfeeding.
I would cut down the penis molding scene, probably.
Yeah, I definitely would have cut that down. Like, it was... Yeah. That, ugh. Ugh. But, another thing I wanted to mention was that I really liked Rose Byrne's character, because in a lot of movies, you sort of get the Rachel Harris wife model, who's, like, this nagging, bitchy... Mm-hmm.
What? That was the word I was looking for.
Gets in the way. Mm-hmm.
She wants to have fun too.
Yeah, Rose Byrne was, like, equally as dumb as Seth Rogen, which was great. Like,
and there's even a scene where she's like, why am I supposed to be the smart one here? Yeah. Why can't I just have fun? That was good, actually.
Yeah, I really liked that. But I kind of wish it didn't hit you over the head so hard with the fact that she, look at this lady, she's not like the regular wife, she's a cool wife.
It's a mainstream comedy, so they're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah. But yeah, she was really great. There's this one scene I really loved where she was, like, looking for ways to take down the fraternity, and she was, like, playing with the baby, and she's watching The Office.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love scenes in movies where people get, like, get inspired by supposedly profound ideas and
from
stuff.
Michael Scott.
And she gets inspired by Michael Scott to put bros
before
hoes, which is a great episode of The
That
Office.
Was a very weird, that was also then that, like, in that ensuing plot point was another very weird one that, like,
yeah,
they kind of, like, that's really important, and they kind of, like, oh, it's forgotten already.
I think, yeah, that was another thing, like, they kept, like, one of the first things they did to mess up the fraternity was, like, they got this girl, one of the guy's girlfriends, to sleep with the best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well. Like, it really made them hate each other, but they never really went back to it. They kept, like, skipping over it, which I think they probably maybe could have taken a page out of the Mean Girls playbook. And
yes,
sort of
probably.
This looked movie at how to take down people that way. Yeah.
This movie weirdly felt, it was only written by two people, but it felt like it was written by more 100. Than one, or at least that's, which is a big problem with, like, movies now as compared to TV, is that it always feels like there's, that everybody gets to have their say.
It's like the network note thing.
It shouldn't be like that. We talked about this with Amazing Spider-Man 2 a lot, where it just always feels like there's so many different ideas because everybody thinks
it's
their
just,
idea
like, these
is good.
Big mainstream movies. It's just how movies are right now, and it just should stop.
I agree.
It's because Hollywood is in, like, a money making crisis, which is terrible. But
I know.
Like,
well, Neighbors just made over $50 million. This grossed over $50 million this past weekend.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's pretty good for an R. That's really good for an R-rated comedy. Yeah. And then the movie ends also just on a really weird note. It's like a funny scene where they're making a baby calendar, and
it's like they decide to be parents, but parents in their own way.
Yeah, which is like nice, but then it just also ended really abruptly. It just ended with them in the middle of shooting a Heisenberg scene, or dressing their baby up like Heisenberg, which is really funny. But like, it didn't feel like a conclusion. They just kind of felt like, oh, we're out of ideas, and then cut to black.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, the essence of the movie, that, like, there's a lot of ideas flowing around. Some of them work really well, some of them don't, some of them I don't understand why they're in the place they are. But you know what? I think that this is a big summer comedy, and I kind of wish, like, summer comedies, I think because of Judd Apatow, actually, to me, like, don't seem dumb anymore, because we've gotten some really good ones in the past years, like Superbad, and Knocked Up, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and This Is the End, that I guess we've gotten spoiled. But Neighbors has its smart moments, but it's kind of a big, dumb comedy, but I had a lot of fun during it, and I laughed a lot. I laughed a lot.
I laughed a lot.
I would recommend for people just looking for a good laugh, because there really hasn't been a good comedy in a long time in theaters.
Yeah. So
overall, we'd say go see Neighbors. Go give Hannibal Buress your money.
Yeah. It was funny. It was funny.
It was funny. It was funny. So overall, we give Neighbors a, it was funny. Yeah. It was funny. That's what it was. We like you, Seth Rogen. Yeah. All right, so that's the end. Don't change. Don't become a. Do you want to? By the way, do you want to remember? You kind of talked about.
Yeah, I had
about,
like this thought yesterday. I want to hear this. Is a good it was like thought. This really weird time. I was just like, I like woke up. I was like, I'm really afraid for Adam Sandler. I mean, I'm really afraid for Seth Rogen. What if he becomes Adam Sandler? I just don't want that for him. And it was really.
I think that because basically Sandler just kind of kept playing the same characters, and then he kept making a lot of money, and he gave up and just started casting his friends and everything. And there is that fear, but I think right now Seth Rogen's doing really good. He didn't write Neighbors. I forget what he has on the dock. He has a bunch of TV shows. Yeah, he produced it, but he's some like TV shows he's working on that are like very weird and interesting ideas, and he has more comedies coming out right now. I think he's a long way from becoming a caricature of Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
The guy can act, the guy can write. He's been doing this since he was 16.
Yeah.
He's also one of my comedy heroes, I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Which is why I enjoyed Neighbors so much. Okay, so we both say Neighbors is funny.
It's funny.
It's funny. You'll enjoy it. It's not the best. But that concludes our review for the week. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Real Deal Podcast, everybody. Before we go, we're going to do what we always like to do, and ask a little question that we're going to participate in, and hopefully our listeners will as well. So on the subject of canceled TV shows, it seems like nowadays that if your show gets canceled, if you have loud enough fans, that maybe it'll come back on the air.
And with Scrubs. And
Arrested Development. Veronica Mars. Firefly got its own movie. Yeah. So anyway, we just want to know, what show would you bring back from the dead? My answer would be Happy Endings, which just got canceled last year. It was a big network comedy on ABC that, like, Community was not like any network comedy I ever saw. It was like a show about a group of friends, but like completely spun that idea on its head, and all of its ideas were really ridiculous, and all the characters were really interesting. They had like a gay character who was a complete slob and kind of broke that stereotype, and they had like this one couple was like I don't know how to describe it, like Damon Wayans and... You watched Happy Endings, right? Yeah. Damon Wayans and, what's her name? Damon Wayans Jr. and... Isn't it I'm completely... No, it's Alicia... Not Alicia Cuthbert. She was a different one. Eliza Koo.
Yeah.
They were like a kind of atypical couple. And like Damon Wayans Jr. was like the more feminine one. And she's kind of more type A. I don't know how to...
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the best way to describe it. But either way, like, it had really great characters. Every episode was funny. It did a lot of ridiculous concepts, but it never got high ratings because it wasn't really a show meant for a broad audience. And there was a chance of it getting revived on the USA Network, bless you, and that completely fell through. But I'm really hoping, I'm still crossing my fingers. All the characters, all the actors have gone on to other shows like New Girl and The Mindy Project, and Damon Wayans Jr. is going to be in Let's Be Cops this summer. Yeah. But I'm still holding up hope that one day somebody will pick it back up.
Creators has two new pilots.
Yes, he has a new pilot with Casey Wilson, who's his wife, is one of the pilots.
He has two, I think.
Or who's his, yes, you're right. But I would love one day if it came back on the air, because that show had some of... I wish I could just read a list of some of like the one-liners on that show and the pop culture references. They were just so good.
Yeah.
But anyway, Cassie...
Our producer, Nick, says bring back Chappelle, bring back Cheers. I'm pretty sure he's kidding,
though. I'm pretty sure that Cheers didn't get canceled. I think it was on for as long as it needed to be. I think it ended when it needed to be. We can't really bring back Breaking Bad, either.
Yeah, so shut up, producer Nick.
But I would love to see Chappelle's show back on the air. It was canceled for other reasons, because he didn't want to do it anymore, but I would love to see Dave Chappelle in the air again. But anyway, what's a show you would want to see
brought back? I really liked this really dumb little show called Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Mm. It was so funny.
You know, I never really watched. I saw one episode.
It was really funny. I had a little bit of a slow start, but like once the characters really got into themselves, it got really funny. It always parodied pop culture really well. It had Kristen Ritter, who is just so funny. She's going to be on a new pilot this fall. I forget what it is.
She looks like a Tim Burton character.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. I love her.
She's great.
And
who's the other actress in it?
What is her name? I don't remember. But she was amazing in that, too. And James Vanderbeek was ridiculous.
And he played himself, right?
He played himself, which I think was perfect. And he had this assistant who was just amazing, and Eric Andre was on it. Like, it was funny. It was so smart and funny.
It's very sad because another show that was on network TV. It was on ABC, right?
Yeah, it was on ABC.
But anyways, another show on network TV that, like, couldn't quite fit into the network mold, and it's just getting unfortunate that on, like, the main networks that, like, these shows can't fit on. Or, like, if you think about one point, I'll say...
Yeah.
10 years ago or so when Malcolm in the Middle was on, which was completely different from any show that was on TV, and that never got... It lasted for, like, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's getting harder and harder for shows like that, because there are benefits to being on network TV for, like, an atypical show.
Yeah. Another one that I really wish... It was in talks of coming back, but then I never did, was Pushing Daisies.
Oh, that's a great one.
That show was so good.
That show was so good, and it had, like, a concept where I felt like it could have gone on for a really long time.
Yeah, it could have potentially been procedural, but like really beautifully done. It was just so good. And Brian Fuller
and these are all, let me just point out that these are all ABC shows. So ABC, come on, ABC. ABC, Fox, NBC.
Get your head out of your Modern Family.
CBS. Yeah, they just wish they could create a lot of Modern Family clones. Yeah. But you know, Fox, ABC, NBC, they seem to be the worst ones in terms of canceling shows. CBS, not so much, because they have shows that we don't really care about.
Yeah.
I mean, they did in, like, the 70s. They had great shows, but...
Yeah.
Well, How I Met Your Mother was great, so no offense to How I Met Your Mother. But anyway, what show would you bring back from the dead? If you have an answer, something interesting you want to say, as always, send an email to Ian, I-A-N, at real... R-E-E-L, dealblog.com. That's Ian at realdealblog.com. The only word spelled differently is real, R-E-E-L. Get it? Because movies have reels.
Do you guys know how to spell it now?
Can I explain it some more? Can we break it down? Let me explain it some more. I can break it down. Okay, that's enough there. But anyway, so that's our show for the week. Before we go, Cassie, is there anywhere we can find your work or your writing this week?
No, but you can follow me on Twitter.
As always.
At Cassie Grimaldi, and Cassie's spelled C-A-S-S-I-E.
And then Grimaldi. Yeah,
and Grimaldi.
Like the pizza place in Brooklyn.
And you can subscribe to Humor Whore on YouTube if you want. I don't really work for them anymore, but we just released the last sketch that I wrote, so yeah.
What's that sketch about, just briefly?
About how summer interns are unpaid and there needs to be a charity to feed them, so you should watch it.
Feed the interns. It's relevant because it's the summer.
Yeah. So relatable, right?
And as always, you can find my writing at realdealblog.com. R-E-E-L. I think you get it at this point. I'll be having a review of Neighbors up. You can also find my amazing Spider-Man review. Some other lists, talk of summer movies, and all that stuff, as well as all the old podcast episodes, which you can find on the Real Deal website
or iTunes.
On iTunes. Yeah, subscribe on iTunes. Listen on your phone after you listen to Marc Maron, and Pete Holmes and whoever else you listen to on your podcast
app. Dan Harmon. Give him attention.
Dan Harmon. Give Dan Harmon some attention.
He needs some love.
Watch Rick and Morty. Yeah. That's our show for the week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Next time we come back, we will have a review of the highly anticipated Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
But until then, 3, 2, 1, keep it real. Keep it real. I think we got it. Keep it real.
We got it.
We got it. We got it. We get it. We got it.